Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And because we come to you in a lot of digital networks, we'd ask you to share far and wide. We still have a lot of people, and don't mean any insult by it, but they're ignorant of politics. But what's happening right now is going to decide most people's future, at least on this planet, not the afterlife, but certainly on this planet. And they have a right to know the facts so they can make informed decisions. So let's please help them by sharing. We're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios, and we are brought to you by Noble Gold. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how much I've shared this before. My mom's side of the family used to be wealthier than heck until she's about 2 or 3 years old. Some of our family line, the Ford family, Henry Ford on my mom's side, and they were wealthy. They owned hotels and real estate. Lots of money in the bank, and 1929 came along, and Henry didn't warn him, and he knew ahead of time, just like Rockefeller, and boom, the bottom fell out, and the banks kept everything. They can do that to you legally today. Dodd-Frank 2010, don't let them do it. If you've got retirement, 401k, IRA, let Noble Gold convert it, back it up with precious metals. You'll own it. The banks can't touch it. They can do similar things for your bank account. You need to pay attention. The dollar is in deep trouble. Last month, $400 million came in for tax. $480 billion went out. That's about 18% over expenditure. How long could you live like that? The dollar's in deep trouble. Take advantage. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. DaveHodgesGold.com. Now, I got to give you the warning. FTC says whenever you do anything financial, it can be a risk. We agree with that warning. They should be telling you the banks can steal your money. DaveHodgesGold.com. Doug Thornton just got back from a training session. We'll have him talk about that a little bit. And then we're going to jump into some current events that are pretty important. And just say this. It's not enough to have a gun. You better learn how to use that gun. And Doug is busy training people around the country. Doug, you were back at the late Bob Griswold's place, and may he rest in peace, our dear friend. So how was the training?
Well, the training's always great. It's always good to get out and meet the audience, meet fellow believers, fellow patriots. And for this course, we focused on radio communications. And I'll tell you that our affiliate instructor, who is a former radio communications Marine, a radio expert, he showed us some of the things that you can do with satellite phones, cell phones, the digital radios, regular ham radios. And it's interesting, and it's for some people it could be intimidating, but for those who attended the class, I'll tell you this, they are much more better prepared for when prophecy hits the fan than the people who didn't show up for it. And that honestly goes with every single class that we put on, and every single time someone gets the ability to learn something and they refuse it and they pass it up. For people who can't, that's understandable. But if you can, why aren't you learning? If you take this serious, why aren't you trying to better yourself and better prepare? But I'll tell you this much, you will not go anywhere in the future and not be able to use some form of digital communications. That is going to be a key part of our future, either by pager, unlike Hezbollah, who tried to go a little analog, didn't work out too well for them. Cell phone, radio, satellite phone, digital communications, the applications for the phone, the types of things that we learned that a freaking phone can do this weekend was phenomenal. And then
Give me a couple of
applying it.
examples of what a phone can do.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I did not know that the phone was more or less a radio, and that a radio kind of has almost the same applications as a phone. I did not know that you can, with certain radios, text information through a radio and it go through another radio and then into someone else's phone. And then we went over stuff like the mesh network. For any of you guys who are into the tactics world, we went deeply into something called ATAX. If you go to our Vindicta Solutions YouTube channel, by tomorrow, we'll have a few of the classes, a few of the information in the class that we did put up there so people can at least listen. But I'll tell you this much, man. You cannot just look at this stuff online or go to all these places on YouTube and just listen to people talk about stuff. You really have to be there to understand the nomenclature, to be shown how it works. And then we go out into the field and we apply it. We were teaching people how to make proper proper calls over the radio, different types of reporting for the radio in case you're ever in a squad-like, team-like environment after prophecies hit the fan. How do you talk to each other correctly, efficiently, without giving a lot of your information away? And so we talk about how to do that in a clandestine and in a team environment, always considering the fact that every time you transmit, someone's most likely listening. So if you want to learn how to do stuff like that, then we sincerely ask that you come over to VindictaSolutions.com. See when the next time we put our training out. Our next training, Dave, is actually back in Texas. We'll be doing our Shoot, Move, Communicate. That's our CQB-style course. And then I believe back in December, we'll be back out in Tennessee for the last part of the year's Shoot, Move, Communicate course. So no training for October. We got a venue to go to, but November and is a Shoot, Move, Communicate course in Texas. So for all you Texas cats, we will be available there. And then back in Tennessee at the end of the year.
Okay. Sounds good. Man, I got so many conflicts or I would have been there. What is it? VindictaSolutions.com?
Yes, sir. VindictaSolutions.com. Okay. If you don't know where to go, you can just email me at AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com. But I will make sure that it'll be in the link in the description below.
Okay. Now, if you're just tuning in for the first time or the first time you've ever seen our show together, Doug has the American Vindicta Show. I have the Common Sense Show. And together, we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And how many years have we been doing this now, Doug? Do you have any idea?
I think 3 to 4 now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Yeah, when you were off taking, you had to take care of some personal business. And when you were off, people were saying, where's the Intel Report? and my friend Ian, you know, does a lot of work for me. Ian would say, man, that's such a good part of your show. And I agree, it is. So we're glad to have it. And we're going to get into a bunch of things. And I want to start off with two observations. And Doug, I'll let you take it where you want to take it. But I've seen enough on Ruth. Now, I said day one, this guy's CIA. Okay. Yeah. And he had inside help from the Secret Service, or somebody tipped him off to where Trump was going to be. But here's the biggest thing that I find interesting. There was assassination number 3 today. I'm on with Doug Hagman, okay? And Doug pulls this up. Someone alerts Doug in his studio. This is going on, and Doug pulled it up on the screen. Newspaper article, web version, car bombs found near where Trump will be in 4 hours. And then as soon as I got off the air, I found a bunch of them too. Plus, Bongino, good credibility, okay? Breitbart, good credibility. They're reporting the same thing. Then about a half hour later, when you went to Google, all you had were pages of denial, false claims. They missed killing Trump because dogs found the bombs. And now they're covering up that they had an attempt. And I'll say this as the last comment. I was watching a clip of an interview with Jesse Waters and Josh Hawley, senator from Arkansas. First of all, I love Josh Hawley. Much respect to Josh Hawley. But he was asked a question by Jesse, and it was a great question. The Secret Service issues, is it incompetence or compromise? I thought, whoa, what a great question, Jesse. That's a Hall of Fame question in that setting. And Josh Hawley was kind of taken back. He kind of did the, what can I say? And then he said, well, when the FBI still hasn't given us the required paperwork we've subpoenaed from the July assassination attempt, and when they didn't sweep the golf grounds on Sunday, and when they didn't have Secret Service agents stationed at the most vulnerable parts, you have to wonder. I'm telling you right now, Josh Hawley said everything but the Secret Service is compromised, but he believes they're compromised, and I think the rest of us should too. Doug, what's your take on the things I've thrown out here on the table?
I go back to 2016 when Trump first became president. One of the SAC special agent in charge, one of the supervisors for Secret Service, was a white female, and she said that she would not take a bullet for the president.
I remember it. She should have been instantly fired.
Instantly. I mean, we're coming to a crossroads here, Dave, that is Secret Service compromised, or are they deliberately distracted? I mean, you have one job, protect the president, protect the presidential nominee, protect those who are the front runners for president. Why didn't RFK Jr. get Secret Service details? I mean, he's in the front runner. I don't care what the polls and stats say. He was at one point more popular than both candidates, Kamala and Trump. So, you know, I find it interesting that he was denied Secret Service. It kind of gets back to, you only really have two choices. There can't be a third party choice here. But I believe there is some deliberate shenanigans going on within Department of Homeland Security, within Secret Service. And I don't believe that's your average field agent. I believe that is coming from the hierarchy, which, if you've ever worked in federal law enforcement, you'll know that the hierarchy of federal law enforcement is all politicians. Most of the people have no idea what they're doing in their job, and they're put in there because they're a political appointee. And that's on the GS-15 to SES, sir, and up. And so, you know, I think it was Schumer who said that before the end of the year, the fiscal year, I believe before the end of September, they're going to have something else for a bill that's going to come up, and they're going to try and put additional funding for Secret Service to beef up Trump's Secret Service detail. Now, that's just utter crap. That there should already be that installed into it. I mean, let me ask you something. Okay, we got would-be lone gunman assassins, a random dude shooting at Trump, you know, with a pistol, like Ronald Reagan, who was absolutely set up. The guy was absolutely brought in through mind control, and I believe mind control is honestly involved in a lot of this. But if it was the Iranians, if it was the Russians, what would we surround Trump with? I mean, you have on the other hand, where you have common sense federal law enforcement operations, there is a common sense way of how we do things. We beef up security, you know, we enhance security is what it's called, and we make everyone's life a living hell as long as the principal is around. That's your job. That's your job. Your whole life now is dedicated to protecting that asset. Well, it's not being done. The funding's not there. The manpower's not there. So what about the day there is a actual trained sniper? We're not ready for it. That's it. We're not ready for that day. All right. The last two lone gunmen, I mean, one guy was 1 centimeter away from changing American history. This last guy, I mean, look at him. He's a 58-year-old multiple felony. He's not supposed to even own a firearm, convicted felon. He had a gun that had a scratched out serial number. I believe it was an AK-47 type weapon. And he was a Democrat who was pro-Ukrainian. There's a lot of videos of him on Twitter, on TikTok, on YouTube, of him going to college campuses, trying to recruit for people to go and fight for Ukraine. Well, I mean, he was also affiliated with that same Azov battalion Nazi affiliation.
Yes, he was.
So right there, I'm going to say the three-letter agency, CIA, was involved with this guy. They handled this guy. And that's what they do. That's exactly what they know.
He had $68 to his name. And yet he's been in several countries recruiting for Ukraine. And you're right, he stayed in military barracks with the Azov Battalion. You're absolutely right about this. There's no way he could do all these things. Multiple felonies, didn't see a day at jail. And now the feds are only charging him with weapons violations.
15 years. Can you imagine you can set up what we would call a sniper hide? And I mean, unwittingly, he was going to attempt to assassinate Donald Trump, who, it doesn't matter if the man's running for president, he's a former president. For God's sakes, he's a former president. I mean, you would think that the repercussions of trying to kill a former president would be a tad bit higher than what it is. But yeah, 15 years, most likely he'll see some form of probation out of that. Let me see. Officials said that he could face up to 15 years in prison if convicted on the first charge and possibly 5 years if convicted on the second. Well, I mean, he's a convicted felon with a loaded firearm that was found during criminal activity, possibly manslaughter if it gets promoted into premeditated murder in advance further. I mean, which it should. Who the hell has taken the case? This isn't a state lawyer. I mean, this is the someone is an assistant U.S. attorney in Florida should be taking this case. The FBI should be taking this case, and they should be charging this guy for attempted assassination on a former sitting president. So this guy should be locked away for the rest of his life, but it's not going to happen.
No, they may even convict him of something, but then release him without attention, and he goes back to work for him. He, you know, Customs alerted Homeland Security as to this guy's nefarious nature when he came back into the country, and Homeland just ignored it because he's an asset. That's why. I want to bring up something here. The Republicans are missing the boat, and I agree that what's happening with the Democrats is wrong. I mean, Hakeem Jeffries basically came out and effectively said, Trump brings it on himself. He's an existential threat to democracy one day after the attempt. And it had Maxine Waters and all these other ass clowns from the Democratic Party saying basically Trump brings it on himself. And the Republicans are jumping over this, say, you're inciting this. No, the attention's in the wrong place, Doug. I agree they're inciting stuff. But first of all, there's really good evidence that there were two shooters at Butler, and we're not talking crooks. That's why they had to cremate his body, because they won't make the mistake they made with Oswald, where they gave him a nitrate test and it showed he didn't fire a shot that day. So they're not making that mistake. They cremated the body. So we have really good forensic evidence of the two shooters in Butler. Doug Hagman's all over this with his stuff. I'm going to have him on my show to talk about it. He's actually got a team of six people. And Doug's a former private investigator. Actually, he's a present private investigator. But when I look at this, that was an organized hit with Secret Service complicity. There were bombs in two cars at Butler that were going to blow up the president and kill hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And Doug, to your credit, I want to give you credit. Back in the days when you were Wrecker and you were active on Homeland, you came on without showing your face. And we would not use your name. It was just Wrecker. And you said, in Homeland, we've talked, won't be a JFK-style hit. It'll be a mass casualty event, and your target will be, whoops, wrong place, wrong time. You said that very clearly on this show 3 years ago. And we've repeated it several times since. That was the plan in Butler, but they had to go to Plan B, which was a sloppy JFK-style. This latest deal with this Ruth guy, this was a CIA hit, and he had plans to get away. In fact, he got 30 miles away, as it was. He got away, and it wasn't not for a brave Secret Service agent who noticed the gun and opened fire. Trump wouldn't be here now. It's that simple. Okay, Trump would be gone. So they did try a CIA-style hit with an escape involved, not sacrificing him to the wolves. And then this morning, when you have the bombs in the cars, Doug, we're back to what you said, mass casualty event.
Well, there was bombs found in cars in Butler, Pennsylvania. There, I believe at least one or two of the vehicles that were involved in that event were rigged with explosives, potentially rigged to blow. I have heard it said from sources that the thought was that if they could not drive the vehicles into the crowd and explode the ordnance, then the secondary or maybe even the tertiary was to have the shooter try to gain access into the venue and then take the first shot, well, which ended up happening.
One thing happened with Josh Hawley's interview today that relates, you know, kind of a sidebar to what you're saying. The rooftop in question was Secret Service responsibility. And the Secret Service has tried to put it off on local police, and they're really pissed off. They have gone one by one to Josh Hawley and said, that's not what happened. They told us not to worry about it. It was, they were taking the lead. And I mean, we're talking a lot of police officials. Secret Service was compromised. This is what happened with Kennedy. We've covered that before on the show. You know, going 14 miles an hour around the steep curve, you don't do that. The president's the lead car, you don't do that. Yeah, the open windows, you don't do that. I could go on and on. But Kennedy's Secret Service protection was severely compromised. And now there are legalities involved. You can't, for example, publish an itinerary of a president. Yet MSNBC did it today. I don't know if you saw that or not. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, do you remember that Trump originally tried to keep part of his personal protection detail whenever he became president? He tried to keep his own guys, and Secret Service overruled him. I mean, there has always been rumor mill, Lance Corporal Underground rumor mill, that there was an issue with Secret Service around Trump. And I've never heard of an issue with Secret Service around any sitting president. And I've worked for four of them. I've worked under four presidents. And so you don't have that issue with Biden. There is no conflict of interest with Biden, but there's conflict of interest with Trump. And I always found that to be very interesting, very telling. And so, you know, if I were Trump and all this collapse of my security element is happening, well, I mean, damn it, Dave, what happens come November 4th when the man does become president? I mean, I would almost make a decree and replace Secret Service with, I don't know, the military at that rate. I mean, because who the heck can you trust?
The problem is a common Thomas issue if you do that, though. I agree with your premise, Doug, but you still have a posse comitatus issue by using the military.
There's so many ways around using special operations because we do it already. But the thing about it, well, I mean, Eric Prince would gladly give you a few recruits if you'd put him back in charge. But the thing about it is that the DOD is compromised. They're compromised with communists. Communists, crazy, liberal, left-wing generals and officers, and then all the other crap that goes along with that. And then so is, I don't know how much at this rate our federal government is compromised. I mean, from the crazy person that they tried putting in charge of NERC, the bald-headed
dude, steal women's clothing, an airport guy.
I don't know what you call this guy, reprobate. I mean, it is compounding at this rate that our government is seriously segregated in between patriotic and communistic. Communistic side, even if you don't come out and say it outright, if you support the Democrat, you're supporting socialism and communism. If you support that, if you align yourself with that at this rate, you are not abiding by the United States Constitution. You are antithesis of the United States Constitution. Now, this is what's dangerous, is during the Portland riots in 2020, God, I hate bringing this up all the time, but the Republicans were putting out a bill to make it illegal to be a Democrat. Do you recall that?
Yeah.
If Trump gets back into the presidency, I think we will actually see here in this country some form of, and I can't believe I'm even going to say this, some form of tribunals. I really finally see it coming to fruition. All the Q crap that was being said, all that fake nonsense with multiple assassination attempts from one group of people on Trump, and then all the politicians and all the mainstream media that are all from one group of people, the Democratic side, I can see Trump and a few Republicans literally flipping the switch and prosecuting these people and going after them. And once again, I think that is part of a triggering event for civil war. I really do. I mean, if they can't trigger the civil war by the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, and if they just, for whatever reason, can't kill him because either God's protecting the man or they're just horrible shots and not good at setting the stuff up, or it's going to be vice versa, them doing this to Kamala Harris. But here's my spiel of this, and you and I talked about this weeks ago, is I see an even greater scenario where Kamala looks like she's going to win, or even she does win. And then it's a crazy right-wing white veteran who ends up shooting and killing Kamala Harris, because then, I mean, you're just ticking all the boxes at that rate, right? So, and it's not far-fetched to say that this is a possibility. I mean, just read the room. You can see the scenarios and the events building themselves. More to come.
I'm writing something tomorrow. Kamala's in danger. I think she's in danger before the election.
Yeah. Remember January 6th? What was in the route of her alternative route? Yeah, her alternative route. When she should have been picked up by Secret Service and place into vehicles and expedited out of there. Instead, she was put on a footpath that should not have been predestined. And if it was, no one should have known that destination that she was going.
That's true.
And there was a pipe bomb put there.
I agree.
Either she is being set up to be the sacrificial goat, or she's being made to look that way, because she's never came out and said anything about a pipe bomb.
No, but she
not
knows.
Not to my knowledge.
I'm going to tell you, Doug, what she knows. She should have chosen Shapiro as her running mate because he can carry Pennsylvania, 60% approval rating. She has to win Pennsylvania and Georgia to win the election. I've seen the electoral breakdown. That's a pretty big consensus right there. Okay, why wouldn't you choose the guy that could carry Pennsylvania? Because her real numbers are in the toilet. Martin Armstrong says her real number approval is 10%. Okay, I got other sources I can't disclose, but he's in the neighborhood. They say 8 to 12%. I mean, he's right in the middle. You can't cheat that much to win. And Doug, I would also submit this. They would not have had 3 assassination attempts on Trump if they thought they could steal the election. Why would you make that unnecessary risk if you know for sure you can steal this election? And so to me, that says that. Now, why would she choose Tim Walz? This is where I get into this. She rejects Shapiro, who should have been the guy, and she brings in a buffoon with real baggage. And he's worse than she is. So why would you do that? And I'll tell you why. She knows she's in trouble. She knows they would have her killed for political expediency, to lock the country down in martial law, whatever would happen. And she knows this. So she chose the guy that if she gets taken out, there's no way that they want Tim Walz. Shapiro would have been an acceptable alternative. So, Doug, I think she knows she's in trouble. I think she knows that, but her numbers just suck. Look at the Teamsters today. You want a barometer of America? A total Democrat organization. Now, their leaders are corrupt, and they all went for the Democrats, but the rank and file forced them not to endorse Kamala because almost 60% of them say they're voting for Trump. That's unheard of. And I've been telling, you know, my friends and family this. Oh, Kamala's gaining ground. I said, you're buying the Hollywood hype. She's not gaining anything. How do you know? Because people are filling up their tanks with gas and they're buying bread. They know what the hell they're paying versus what they paid. And that undoes all that Hollywood BS that we see. What do you think?
I think that all this propaganda that's going on about Kamala is exactly what it is. It's propaganda.
Exactly.
It's polls. Polls mean nothing. Everybody knows around the world that there at this rate is at least an 80% or higher chance that Donald Trump will become the next president.
Yes.
The only thing that is truly a threat to Donald Trump is another attempted assassination. It is not Kamala Harris. Now, I've heard, and I don't really know why you would do this, but I've heard repeatedly that the Republicans want to make Donald Trump Speaker of the House. Okay. So if he doesn't win the election, then they'll try to make him Speaker of the House. I don't know. I'm beyond caring about all
Too many
the
rhinos,
political.
Doug. Too many rhinos for that to happen.
Yeah, it'll never happen, but all the political side stepping, I don't care about anymore, because honestly, it means nothing to me at this rate. It means nothing to the average American who's suffering with taxes and inflation. And I'll tell you one thing about inflation. Here's one thing that's concerning. A BRICS expert says that the largest U.S. crash has started and that the dollar is now in danger. That is going to mean a lot to us, depending on the deterioration of the US dollar and the effects it has on our commerce. And the more it affects our infrastructure, the more it affects the average American man and woman to be able to pay bills, buy groceries, etc., the closer we're getting into war. Now, the main reason why I can think as to why we are picking a fight with Russia is because of Ukraine. It's not because we care about Ukraine. It's not because we care about the people of Ukraine. It's not because we care about the th Russian threat. If Russia was that big of a threat, why is it that we have shared the International Space Station with them for over a decade? If Russia was that big of a threat, why are we still accepting nuclear uranium, also petroleum byproducts from them? It's because they're not really a threat. Vladimir Putin is a controlled strongman. He is constricted by his own financial schemes. He just cannot escape what the ruble can do anymore. That's why the BRICS was created. And the BRICS still, honestly, cannot do what the American and the West can do in charge of, while we're still in charge of the markets. Now, when everyone flips and leaves America and the markets are taken over by the BRICS, well, then we're screwed. But until then, America is still in charge of all the markets internationally. And I don't know, Dave. I think that because of the amount of money that's sitting in Ukraine in the ground, Lindsey Graham said this himself. The reason why we're in Ukraine is because the amount of resources that are there, I think it's tipped over $1 trillion worth of assets that's sitting in the ground in Ukraine. It may be actually over that. And he said, we cannot allow Vladimir Putin to have access to Ukraine and to what's underneath its ground. America needs that. So, ergo, like I said from the beginning, that's why we're in Ukraine. And that's why we are sending everything available to get ourselves established in Ukraine to piss off Vladimir Putin so that the man will do something irrational. And now the irrational thought has come true. Now, Joe Biden and Britain have given the green light to Ukraine to use long-range missiles to strike to the deeper part of the interior of Russia. Just recently, within 2 weeks, the first ever drone attack happened in Moscow. Dave, if Russia struck us with a drone and it hit Washington, D.C., if it hit New York, what would America do?
Well, you
We'd
think we'd go to
invade
the
you.
highest level of DEFCON and retaliate with nuclear weapons?
Absolutely.
No.
We would come and deliver American freedom. But we are instigating an attack. The Russians know we're instigating an attack. The Ukrainians know it. Everybody knows that we are instigating an attack and that we are pre-positioning all assets for the immediate response so that when Russia decides to finally strike London or Paris or somewhere else, Berlin, 300,000 troops, physical 300,000 troops, immediately fall upon Russia along with all of our aerial assets, and Russia is most likely defeated within a week. I mean, that's if they don't use their nukes. That's a big
if. And they might. It's funny, when you start talking Ukraine, you brought it up. I wrote this down. Listen to this, Doug. Ukraine, unbelievable mineral resources. This is what it's about. But I also wrote this down, too. They have 40% of the world's wheat supply. So you're right on the money with what you're saying. And I would also say this, too. BlackRock has already secured $15 billion for reconstruction. So they know the end of the war is coming. BlackRock is positioning for it. They don't want that out there, but it's out there, folks.
Listen to this, Dave. Ukraine is said to be worth an estimated $26 trillion. $26 trillion. That's what we are to gain if we take Ukraine.
And that's what, that's what Putin was after too, wasn't it?
Yeah, you think that could dig us out of a hole? We would strip mine Ukraine in a week. We would send Halliburton and all these other companies out there, and they would tear that country apart till there was nothing left. And it looked like one of these lithium ion mining companies where there's just holes in the ground filled with poison. I mean, that's what we do to countries. And this, honestly, what this shows you is that America has become an evil empire. And when we get our eyes upon a prize, we will do everything in our power, financially, economically, politically, or physically, kinetically, to get what we are after. And the thing is, let me ask you a question. If you're Vladimir Putin and America was knocking at your door, there's no backing down, we're coming, would you capitulate or would you fight? By capitulating, you potentially save the lives of millions of people. By fighting, you condemn the lives of millions of people. Which would you do?
I would support Donald Trump's re-election. I'm serious. Putin was sarcastic when he came out and said, I support Kamala.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
He was taking the sting out of the Russia allegations when he did that. And I'm going to tell you, I said this when Trump came in, when he was sworn in 2017. I thought, you know, he's got an uphill battle against the WEF and these other globalist organizations. And I said, he needs to team with Putin, because Putin used to be in the Young Global Leaders program. He got out of it because he didn't like the crap that they were wanting him to do to his people. And I thought, okay, Trump and Putin could negate the New World Order together. That's why they went after General Flynn. The globalists went after General Flynn right away on the phony Russian allegations. And they put that ass clown in charge. I forget his name now. It's off the top of my head. The former FBI director went after Trump for the Russia collusion, which was the biggest bunch of hogwash ever. But they wanted to keep Putin and Trump apart, because if Trump makes movement towards Putin, oh, you're a Putin puppet. You work for Putin. Remember that nonsense?
Yep. Russia.
Well, typical Democrat nonsense. You know, I'm going to tell you something else too, Doug. And this kind of gets into Doug and Dave hypothetical report, but I think it's something to consider. Hillary Clinton has surfaced in a big way. She basically came out yesterday and said that Trump should be taken out. She didn't say it in those words, but that was effectively the meaning. And here's what I'm thinking. This plays into my Kamala's in trouble scenario. What if Waltz has to drop out and Hillary's installed as the VP choice? That gives some energy to Kamala's campaign. But now Kamala is taken out either pre or post-election, okay? And there's Hillary. And everything Obama did for the NDAA Executive Order 13603, basically the slavery of America, control of the food, control of every resource, and all the FEMA camp legislation, FM 39.4, all of that, Doug, was done under Obama, but he didn't act on it. And I said, he's like the eighth inning setup pitcher in baseball to get to the ninth inning where your closer comes in and finishes the job. And I still think they look at Hillary as the closer. And I think I think they could manipulate Hillary into the presidency at some point.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we heard the recording of Obama joking about how if he had the ability to sit in his basement in his sweats and, you know, just tell the puppet president what to do and be a third term president, but never be on camera, that he'd do it. I mean, that's what he did with Biden. That's what he's doing now with Kamala. And, you know, I wonder how far on along the totem pole is Barack Obama compared to Hillary Clinton, who is the more favored of the two. But we said long ago that Hillary Clinton would be another one of the proverbial sacrificial goats, just like Kamala would be. So, and the thing about Hillary that's so dangerous is the only time you've ever heard the rhetoric from Vladimir Putin, we would nuke DC before she got into office, came from Hillary Clinton. Vladimir Putin never said anything like that, to my knowledge, about any presidential candidate except for Hillary Clinton.
Except for Hillary, exactly what he said.
Here they are. Right. They're trying to start war with Russia, and it's not working. Well, damn, you know, if you put Hillary in charge, it may just work.
Well, Hillary in debate number two with Trump said, I'll impose a no-fly zone, meaning I'll be shooting down Russian planes, provocation for war. I mean, she showed her hand then. By the way, when you're talking about Obama being in the basement in jammies running things, listen to this. A lot of people don't know about this. A guy by the name of David Plouffe, Plouffe, he was Obama's campaign manager in 08. He made Kamala fire some people. And this guy is not given the title campaign manager, but he is the senior advisor. He's running her campaign. Obama's campaign manager is running Kamala's campaign. What does that tell you?
Yep. Obama's still in charge.
Yeah, he's still in charge. Susan Rice, Anthony Blinken. I heard Blinken's doing the day-to-day presidential decisions now. It sure ain't Joe. He's eating ice cream and going to the beach.
You know, you got to sit back and just say, like, or at least think that other world leaders are saying the same thing you and I are saying. Who the hell is really in charge of America?
Exactly.
Who is really in charge of the most dangerous, most powerful country in the world? People say that Iran and North Korea are the most dangerous countries in the world. It's America by far. There's a reason why. I mean, we are the most dangerous. We're the only ones that dropped the atomic bomb. We're the ones with the CIA who's trying to topple every single country around the world and install our own puppets. So, you know, we are the most dangerous. And there'll come a point, and, you know, Turkey is leaning credence to what I've been saying for a long time, that in 2024, we'll either see a civil war or a world war, when they just talked about wanting to be a member of BRICS. How can you be NATO, and I think the second most nuclear-armed entity within NATO, with, I believe, the second biggest military in NATO is Turkey. How can you go from wanting to be or being a NATO member state to wanting to be in BRICS? I don't believe you can do both. And if you can't do both, and you have to come out of BRICS or have to come out of NATO to be a part of BRICS, then, man, did we just lose ourselves an asset? Because now, still, I mean, we haven't even talked about what's happened to Hezbollah today, but this stuff going on with Israel, I mean, If there's one other thing that is surely to pull us into war, if it's not Ukraine and the assets in the ground there, it's Israel. And if the BRICS nations decide to attack Israel, we're going to be in war.
Yeah, there's something that happened that kind of runs parallel to what you're saying. Tonight, information was released, and the media now has it. I don't know if I believe this, but it's going to be the narrative. Iran hacked Trump's campaign and gave the information to Harris. They're setting up the Iranians as the fall guy for the assassination of Trump. That's what I believe is coming.
At least twice now, things have
Yes.
been linked back to the Iranians.
And let's take a look at it this way. When Kennedy was killed, the planners actually tried to frame Fidel Castro, but he had plausible deniability on many different fronts. So that did not go. And they couldn't get Nikita Khrushchev because Kennedy and Khrushchev were trying to negotiate a test ban treaty on upper atmospheric nuclear testing. So they couldn't go that way. But they wanted to blame a foreign leader as an excuse to get into a war in 1963. So they settled on Vietnam. But the bottom line is here is now Iran back in April linked to assassination plot against Trump. Now they're keeping Iran in the picture. And I think eventually they're going to bring in assassins and they're going to say basically they're Iranian and that'll be the excuse to go to war with Iran and that'll bring in Russia and that'll be the war that they want.
And once again, here we go. We're setting up Operation Nitro Zeus.
Nitro Zeus, yep.
Where the decapitation strike that will hit many different assets that we're not going to talk about here, but many different assets in Iran, which would trigger a response from both Russia and China. And so the conglomeration of the world war would start. I mean, it's unthinkable to me what potentially could be brought out, but I'll tell you my gut feeling, and you watch out for this, is I believe sometime soon in the Middle East, we're going to see a chemical or biological attack either upon the Gaza Strip, all the way up to the Hezbollah area, or it'll happen somewhere in Israel or within a country located there. But I keep seeing all the reports of contested airspace, naval passing, and now the amount of drones, smart weapons that are being used. What is it? The Houthis are now saying that they have hypersonic missiles. Gee, I wonder where you got that from.
Mm-hmm.
Israel had intercepted some sort of information that leaked out that said that they were on the lookout of Bolo. They would be on the lookout for EMP-based weapons that were being transferred from Iran to the hands of Hezbollah in the Gaza Strip. So there is some serious weaponry that's potentially floating around there. And where there's high tech, there's always low tech. Because where high tech fails, gas and biologics succeed. And the only thing you can do is burn it out. So, I mean, we saw this with Syria, correct? With Al-Assad. We saw this, with Assad. Al-Assad's a base, I was at. But we saw this with Assad and ISIS in the chemical attacks. Who did it doesn't really matter because it's all propaganda. But that stuff's there. There is a plethora of World War II to Cold War chemical agents, blister agents, God's sakes, the amount from chlorine to mustard to VX gas. I mean, who knows what's there, but it's nasty stuff. And I do not ever think that Israel thinks themselves so high and mighty that they wouldn't use it, but I dang sure know that the terrorists would use it. Or at least make it staged to look like they used it or it was used on themselves.
Yeah, I agree. The false flag component is definitely in play, Doug. I think there's no question about this. I'm going to ask you a really stupid question, but I'm really looking for a gut answer here. Does Trump make it to the election?
I think he does. I do. I think he does. Look, I've said this before. God anoints and appoints all leaders. So if God wants Donald Trump to be president, no matter who likes it, Donald Trump will be president. If Donald Trump is assassinated, it's because God allowed it to be happening. The same thing for thrusting Kamala Harris, who never ran or was voted on. How strange, right? God will put in whom we deserve. Period. Doesn't matter. So I in my gut, I honestly do believe that Donald Trump does make it, but I am absolutely 100% betting that the Democrats will try to cause a civil war, or they'll use some sort of constitutional amendment, like the 16th Amendment, I think. Is that what it is against Trump? I mean,
no,
14th, isn't that
14th Amendment?
Yeah, the 14th. Is that there's a New York senator or congressman who is saying that he would want to try and make Trump out to be some sort of a felon before he became president, or maybe even after president, and then pull that amendment out of the rabbit's hat on January 16th or January 6th and say he cannot be the president because he's a felon, which is interesting because that congressman said that before the judge who's in charge of the trial right now in New York on Trump, before the judge came out with this ruling and said that the court is going to be suspended until after November 4th, and then it'll pick back up in the end of November.
Yeah, I got something to say to that. I have information, and it's not like it hasn't been reported, but it hasn't gotten the attention it deserves. The Democrats have over 100 lawsuits ready to go, and they have funded this with $265 million. So, you know, it's not going to be a lawsuit. It's going to be a plethora of lawsuits, and this will be tied up in the courts forever. But I do think a civil war could arise out of this. I totally agree with you. Doug, we're
that
out of
congressman
time.
Is Raskin, by the way.
Well, first of all, let me tell you this. I've been going through Gregory Stenstrom's work on what I would call the deep state. He calls it the council. Raskin's a primary player. His dad was the founder of it. Raskin is as radical as it gets. And Raskin said, and I'm close to a quote, if Trump wins the election, there'll be a civil war.
Yes.
A sitting congressman got away with saying that. Doug, we're out of time. So I wanted to make sure that you, by the way, folks, to be continued. Okay, that's my closure on this, to be continued. Doug, how do people follow your work again?
So American Vindictus Show, we're on YouTube. Occasionally we're putting stuff on Rumble. We do have a Patreon that we have many different little backups there. To just do a plug into our training company, VindictaSolutions.com, VindictaSolutions.com. There's also a YouTube page on there for a bunch of training stuff that we'll be posting on there. So if you're interested in training, we have a YouTube page, and we also have a website. Dave Hodges, TheCommonSenseShow.com. And then The Common Sense Show at Rumble. Dave is not on YouTube. YouTube has completely done away with Dave Hodges, and I am bringing him back to life on YouTube until I get in trouble for it. But he is on Rumble. For all of you who
we got to scoot, Doug, before they shut the lights out on us. But yeah, thecommonsenseshow.com, thecommonsenseshow.tv, no YouTube, and just The Common Sense Show when you go into Rumble. To be continued, ladies and gentlemen. Doug, interesting stuff. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next time.